Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network.
The Saturday Panel on Off the Ball.
You are welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk. John Duggan with you through until 5 o'clock. You can text us on 53106. You can stream, watch our streams rather, live as well now. You can watch us on the Off the Ball social channels for Periscope on Twitter, at Off the Ball on YouTube and on Facebook. We're streaming as well on the OTB Sports app, that new app. You can search OTB Sports in your app store to download it for iOS and Android. So if all things go to plan, we're going to have league matches completed. We'll have a championship in GA as well between September and December. So to chew the fat over it all for the next hour or so, we're joined by three senior intercounty Gaelic football managers from the divisions, Division 2 and Division 3, and from Connacht and from Leinster. So John Mahon, the Mayo man in charge of Offaly, Terry Highland, the Cavan man in charge of Leitrim, and Anthony Cunningham, the Galway man in charge of Roscommon. Gents, how are we getting on?
Good enough.
Good, John.
How have we all been coping over the last few months, guys? GA management has been a difficult task, I'd expect, at intercounty level, a strange time, but how have you been managing your way through it to this point? John, start with you.
The weekends are long, I'll be very honest with you. For the first 10 or 12 weeks, we were in lockdown. That 2 kilometre, 5 kilometre rule had us really snookered. Then we were able to, once the 20-kilometre rule was implemented, we were able to get out on the bike and do a little bit of exercise, a bit of gardening, looked at the paintbrush, didn't do a whole lot with it, but fed up with Zoom calls or Microsoft Team calls, to be quite honest with you. And it's been boring, it's been a drag, and like I suppose many of your listeners, John and the two lads, Terry and Anthony, we're missing football. Like, I mean, I mean it because I thoroughly enjoy it, the same as the lads there, and we miss going to training, we miss the interaction and engagement, and the excitement of championship football and the uncertainty of games and outcomes and all the kind of stuff. So the thrills and spills of live sport has been difficult for me personally, but what can you do? We just got to suck it up.
Anthony, you've been in the same boat?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, from a personal point of view, it hasn't been too bad. I've been able to work from home, and you know, that has been good because it keeps you busy and keeps your mind focused on that. But yeah, certainly missed the football. We had a lot of guys doing their own work and their own gym work, and it was Zoom calls and just, you know, briefly keeping in touch with them. But it has been better since they're now back with their clubs and really looking forward to the club championship. I've tipped off to a few challenge matches there in the last week or two. I don't understand Leitrim's championship is on this weekend. Roscommon's kicks off next weekend. And looking forward to those matches. But I suppose overall it's in the lap of the gods, really, whether it'll continue or not. Hopefully it will. I think everybody has their fingers crossed that club championships will kick off. Can't wait really until mid September when we're allowed to go back into collective training again. But miss all the points there that John has brought up, particularly meeting up with the guys, you know, two or three times a week. That's what it's all about, and you're in it for the enjoyment. But it was difficult, you'd have to say overall that the country really has done tremendously well to get to the point where we're at now. It's probably slightly worrying that there might be a resurgence, but hopefully it doesn't stop GAA games, and that can be controlled.
And Terry, are you finding yourself in the same boat as the lads as well up in lovely Leitrim?
Well, similar to Anthony, I've been walking away. We've been very busy, to be honest with you. We run a family business and it's a bill of providers. We've been busy all through the whole period. From a football point of view, yes, it's been very, very difficult. And I suppose like Leitrim is like a lot of other counties. Players are scattered all across Ireland as well, with walking different things, and it's very hard for them to maybe motivate themselves. When you're used to training in a group scenario, sometimes it's hard to just go out and do stuff on your own. But to be fair to them, they've been doing it, and they've been posting up what they've been doing and keep themselves in shape. But at the end of the day, it's you know, they need to get back playing football and practicing the skills of football. And there's a thing that's very hard to do on your own. And this is where I say most of the guys would have had that difficulty. You know, we've been the same everywhere. As Andy says, it is a bit worrying that there is popping up cases with different clubs and around different counties. And I would be a little bit fearful going forward that if, I suppose, people of a certain age profile, the younger people especially, don't rein in some of the activities maybe away from the field. There's nothing more can do with football as such, but all people meet. And unfortunately, we seem to be building up a little bit of a transmission again on the back of that.
Young men need, obviously, their physical well-being to be in a good place, but also their mental well-being. So, for example, Terry, you coach the Cavan under-21s. Anthony, you were with the Galway under-21 hurlers. John, you've got a son working and then playing for Castlebar Mitchells. How important is it for you guys to be kind of keeping in touch with lads, how their heads are just as much as their bodies?
Well,
it's very important from a mental point of view that you keep these lads, you know, in the thing, because, as I said, they used to be in a group, but unfortunately they used to probably be in their own group. Inter-county football is inclined to do that with fellas because they're going into playing inter-county football at the moment, or you're really stuck into that small group all along. And I'm sure they miss the company and they miss the camaraderie and they miss all the things off that group. And, you know, they do become a little bit of a loner sometimes in your long-term inter-county football because of the time you've been in. Perhaps it'll help them to interact again with other people. And when the club thing sets up and gets up and running, I think that should leave it easier on them.
And John, you, as I said, your son is playing for Castlebar Mitchells. It's important for everybody's well-being from a mental side just as much to be there as a physical side.
Yeah, I watched Johnny here in isolation, I have to say, now with two or three other young lads from Castlebar Mitchells training at a gym that we set up in the garage at the back of my house. And I noticed them getting bigger and stronger over the last, particularly during the lockdown period. And unfortunately, in Castlebar Mitchells' case, including my own son, he tore his hamstring when he went back. And I think that's a common occurrence right around the country. There's a lot of players are returning after the lockdown or picking up soft tissue injuries, and a lot of hamstring tears and strains. And he was up last night playing a challenge game in Hyde Park against Clonagale. And after 5 minutes, having recuperated for the previous 5 weeks, he tore his hamstring again. So he's walking around here, half walking, and he's in right foul form. But it is a difficult time, and you've got to admire and appreciate what Sport Ireland have done, their interaction with central government and the sports department and the Minister for Sport under the previous administration. They've come in there with a very, very good financial package, 70 million, 40 million of that being made available to the three big NGBs, FEI, IRFU and the GEA, to assist and help clubs get back up and running and whatever it takes to do that. Like, I mean, there's a huge a swathe of protocols now surrounding the return to games, restricted to 200 supporters. That's going to be a right challenge. My brother is chairman of a local club down the road here, and he was crying crocodile tears to me last night how he's going to manage that, who is going to deny access to the ground. So there's a huge number of issues coming with games. And as Terry alluded to there, and Anthony, the big fear is that we might have, and our rating, I think, is up at 1.2 or 1.3. And I think we had 33 or 34 cases yesterday. We locked down initially in early March or mid-March when we had, I think, about 26 or 27 cases. So, unfortunately, the R rating is heading in the wrong direction. And I'm a little bit pessimistic. I think, obviously, club championship will commence this weekend and again next weekend. But I'm just a little bit fearful for the whole GA package at inter-county level. If it starts, I'm just beginning to wonder, will it finish? Because looking at the trends right around Europe, there's hotspots right in, more or less in most countries. And I'm just wondering how we will avoid it. Look, we need, as you rightly say, John, for the health and mental health and physical health of our younger people in particular, they need that interaction, engagement as a part of the social fabric of our culture, playing sport and particularly playing GA, as far as we're concerned. And it'd be a shame if we faced another lockdown. So it's critical over the next couple of weeks that we manage it well and stop the house parties, whether they're in Cork City or whether they're in Castlebar. It's important now that we try and manage that particularly well, because we crave for live sport, whether it's rugby or whatever it is. I'm watching you know, the end of the Premiership, for sure. It's like watching paint dry without the atmosphere of a crowd. And the same, I think, will apply to a certain extent with games maybe played. I know Limerick County, I listened to their chairman last night, they're playing games behind, well, maybe they're not playing games behind closed doors, but some counties are. And where's the fun in that? There's no fun in it for the players. And obviously, if supporters and spectators can't go to see games, it would be a shame. But there's a huge plethora of issues out there at the moment. I'm just hoping we manage it well, John.
Anthony, just on that, what John is saying there, you were with Gary Castle and St. Bridget's as a football club coach. Now you're managing Roscommon. Are you worried you can't work with these guys until September the 14th? That you got about a month until the Connacht Championship starts. You got those two crucial league games at Roscommon. You got to play, I believe it's Armagh and Cavan. Are you worried that club players will not be fit enough for inter-county, given the demands are completely different for the both of them?
Yeah, I think there's two worries, John, to be honest. One, will they be injured, or will they pull a hamstring the week before they play a championship for Roscommon, or you know, back in the, when they come back into us, or in the middle of the 3 or 4 week window we have there to get ready for championship? Because players inevitably push themselves. The biggest issue I see is trying to rein guys back, and that they don't do too much. You see it in the professional game. You saw it in the first number of weeks. Arsenal players, yeah, huge number of players pulling up with hamstrings. And that's the big worry. There would be a number of players that have that won't make the first round of club championship, but they're targeting their second game and their third game. So it will be a loss on knockout championship for us. That a player that has worked, you could say, the whole year long, and you come to the middle of October and he pulls a hamstring, as John Sunday did there, he's just not going to get a second bite of the cherry. So that's difficult, and it's going to be very, very difficult both mentally and on players, and you know, their whole life revolves around playing first of all with your club, and second of all with your county when you're selected. And it's just, I feel for them, a savage disappointment. There isn't a backdoor on the championship either, which is difficult. Probably would have been nicer if we had a second bite of the cherry, because it's not so much for managers or that, but for players, that they get a second day out. So that definitely is going to be very, very difficult on players, and I feel sorry for them. You know, they can pull hamstrings, but there will be injuries coming back from a short window getting ready for club championship, and the successive games in club championship. There's two weekends in a row in Roscommon, there's a break for a week, and then there's another two or three weekends in a row. So it's going to be very, very difficult. And, you know, a lot of the clubs may not have the expertise that maybe are in certain counties now with full-time strength and conditioning coaches and full-time physios who manage this day in, day out. But for us, right through the league, you get used to the load, and not loading them during the week that you're playing from week to week in league or in championship. And I don't think that's there at club level yet. But it's very, very difficult to manage.
We're speaking to inter-county managers Anthony Cunningham in Roscommon, Terry Highland in Leitrim, and John Mahan in Offaly about the return of inter-county action, about GAA action generally, with the club seen back this weekend. Lads, are you cool with this ban on training until September the 14th?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have any problem with it, to be honest with you. I think once lads are playing football, it's going back to what Anthony said there, it's more how the manager regards injuries and how they come back to you. Like, one of our lads broke his thumb last week in a challenge game. So, you know, this is the type of thing that you pick up. It's kind of about if you're control and you've got a short window. I think in Leitrim, to win a championship, you have to play 7 rounds, and then you're some of that, that's not the 27th of September. So we really only had them for two and a half weeks when we're back in the first league game. And every county is different, and that's probably where the difficulty is for inter-county guys. But to be fair, they're playing football, and from that point of view, they're honing up their skills. I would agree with the lads on the injuries. I had to go to the evidence of a team in Cavan. I should club him last week. They had 7 players lost over one weekend with hamstring injuries. And, you know, that is the problem with that. And okay, some of them may only be a couple of weeks out, but some guys could be out for 6-7 weeks. And it's how we can manage that. And we have no physical contact. And even for the medical people, there's no physical contact. So it's a difficult one, I'd say, for all inter-county people to manage.
Yeah, I, John, I had asked our chairman, Michael Dygan, and you're probably aware he's come out pretty strongly about a number of issues in relation to the lockdown and the return to play at inter-county level. But Just in Offaly, the three rounds of the championship in Offaly, but you take a player in a certain club that loses the first two rounds of the championship. In other words, the third game becomes a dead rubber of a game. And from mid-August, that guy may not be engaging to any huge extent with his club because they're out of the championship, they have a last game, they have no interest in it. And maybe from mid-August to the 14th of September, I had hoped that we might be able to pull those 10 or 12 guys into maybe a session or two during the week prior to the 14th of September. And I was hoping that the window might open for that. And I'm still kind of hopeful that, that there might be some looseness in that department. I know there's a lot of pressure coming on Croke Park in relation to the 200 spectators into games. But I just, from my perspective, I would like to see us being able to engage with them for no other reason. Look, it's a bit of a commute for me from Castlebar up to Offaly, but I'm thinking about the players, just to get them in, whether it's 10 or 12, and just get them back, just to bridge the gap between end of the club championship, maybe mid-August or some, up to the 14th of September.
And Anthony, for you?
Anthony? Yeah, I similar to that. For us, we haven't trained, but we would monitor the players and on the load, and I've spoken about that, and there's a lot of education on that, both on players and in clubs, back to clubs that train less on that and manage that properly. But I don't mind, like Terry, as long as they're back playing club championship, and they have, and I've seen the players, some of the players playing challenge matches there in the last couple of weeks, so it is good to see them back in the field. It's all about football for me, because you can do X amount of it, you know, you can do X amount of training, X amount of gym stuff off the field, but it's all about getting back to their skills again and getting back to the weekly games. And I don't have an issue the way it's structured in Roscommon, and it's finished or planned to finish. But I'd be the same with John there. If there's a player out of championship and his club are out, unfortunately, and even if they have a dead rubber game, that player will need to be playing and training at a higher level. And if it's 5 players, if it's 10 players or 15 players, they should be allowed to collectively train at least once a week or twice a week if they're finished in their club championship, not to have to wait for the full championship to finish. You'd hope the common sense prevails on that, to be honest, and I'm sure it will. But making a standard rule for everybody across the line isn't possible. But I'd equally say, while a player is still involved with his club championship and they're in contention for a quarter final position or a semi final position or a final, they should be totally with their club. I don't have issues with that, because they're sharp. They're getting their weekly game. And it's fine by us, you know.
So we're asking for flexibility here from Croke Park around getting players that are being knocked out of their county championships to be allowed to train with the inter-county panel. I can understand from Croke Park's perspective, they want to have one thing first. They want to have a clear demarcation between the two to give the club a bit of breathing space and then have the inter-county season. But can they show flexibility with 32 independent republics to manage and games not finishing exactly at the same time?
Well, I know there's lots of engagement and interaction with chairman. I know they had a Zoom meeting last Friday week, and there was a commitment made at that meeting that there would be no inter-county collective training at the moment. Now, I can't say with absolute certainty that every county around the country is adhering to that, because there's no sanctions if teams are caught, inter-county teams are caught training at the moment. And I believe there's certain kind of activity going on in certain counties, and good luck to them, that's their own business. They're not insured. If we decided to have a session behind closed doors, we're not insured if anything happens. The players won't get their players' expenses. There'll be no food involved, and chairman might be exposed. Well, look, you're not compliant. Now, the problem, I think Michael Dignan, the chairman of the Offaly County Board, highlighted this issue. There are no sanctions if players are caught. It's a bit like the closed season a number of years ago when counties weren't allowed to return prior to Christmas. But, Croke Park are not able to police that and implement sanctions. But I think, as Anthony alluded to use his term, a little bit of common sense, if I were allowed to bring back 10 or 12 for one or two sessions, all we're talking about here is 3 or 4 sessions. This is for the players' good. It's not anything to do with us as managers or as coaches. It's just to allow them to get ease their way back, that they're not idle for 3 or 4 weeks prior to the return to train date of the 14th of September. That's all we're looking for. It's a little bit of flexibility there. And look at if Croke Park can come out for whatever reason, medical reasons, and medical advice that it's not advisable to return until the 14th of September, we will fully comply and would be complicit with that directive. But I just think a little bit of flexibility might be appropriate. And if it is, and if it isn't, what can we do about it?
Well, there is they can, under misconduct rule 7.2, impose sanctions about potential fines and disqualification. But I think a complaint might need to be made. Nobody's going to shop their own county. Is that not the problem here? Nobody's going to complain about their own. Like, no club is going to complain to a county board chair, and they're not going to complain to Croke Park about inter-county players training. There's not going to be a club versus inter-county divide, is there, within individual counties?
Well, it happened. There's no point in saying this, that every club gets on with every county board. That wouldn't be normal. There'd always be one or two that might be disgruntled over fixtures or different decisions that have been taken. So. That's there, where a club can complain and as we understand, email Croke Park directly, which in itself is a bit disingenuous to a county board. I mean, the county board are there to run the administration, to run the affairs of the club and county within the county. So they should be involved in that. I don't think that license should have been given to clubs to complain when they liked. But in the majority, we'll be okay. But you could get instances that somebody wants to, you know, to make an example of a county or a county chairman or the affairs and how they're run and be disgruntled.
I think it's a bit disingenuous to ask clubs to report on counties if they are training, because it won't happen, number one. And number two, don't get me wrong, and I use this loosely because of Cavan and Weir along the border up here. You can imagine somebody in six county ringing up to report anybody. It just doesn't work that way. You know, so it's the same everywhere else in Ireland. It's not in our psyche to report people like that. And I think that most counties, to be fair, are sticking to the rules. But go back to John's point and Andy's point about the 10 guys or 20 guys that's had a championship whenever it comes around. And they may be looking at it from a financial point of view, which I don't think the needs. I think lads want to play football. I think if they just give it back to insurance, that lads are covered to train and pick up an injury, that's all anybody wants, and it allows them to go and get themselves in shape. If the club is at the championship, what do they do? Go back to training on their own to keep themselves in shape, because they can't meet up for 2 or 3 weeks with their other colleagues. There has to be some system or method. And I think if they just put back the insurance, guys are covered to train. So then if they go out in groups of twos or threes, because their club is not doing anything, at least they're covered, and it covers them from that point of view. Is because, you know, in the times that we're in, we have to make sure that people who are in employment are covered for wages if anything goes wrong or whatever it is, because we have come through an uncertain 6 months in business, and I think we're actually heading into a worse 12 months coming forward, where we've got to make sure that people are fully employed and be fit to go to their work. And if they're not fit to go to work, that there's someone covered there to make sure that they have money to pay their expenses.
Is a month enough, Anthony, for training for the championship as an inter-county manager with Roscommon? You got two very crucial games in the league, and then you got that Connacht championship, potentially Mayo after London, and then a final.
Yeah, a month is very, very tight, to be honest with you. The intermediate and senior championship finals are down for completion on the, you know, mid September, so we won't see a full panel of players until a week after that. So we're down to almost three weeks before your first, and it's a critical league match. So that when you are preparing, and you know, collectively we haven't been together since last March, is a very, very short time frame. You have to get back into playing, going through your systems again, going through your coaching points, and that takes time and effort and just hours. It's really, really short. And I don't think there's been a proper analysis done of a proper number of weeks. You at least it should be 5 to 7 weeks would be the norm of a preseason. And I think that's been overlooked. I don't think there's been enough of involvement of county managers in those decisions. And it's just really, really short.
Well, we're going to speak to Anthony Cunningham, John Mahon and Terry Hyland after the break here after 2 o'clock about the structure of the championship. Folks, 53106, do you think the structure of the championship needs to be changed with intercounty provinces? Maybe we should have a Champions League style championship in the summer. We have a chance now in this country with this very, very difficult situation we've had for the last few months and weeks. With COVID-19, to maybe kind of reassess the sustainability of GAA, the championship itself, how it's structured, and maybe rethink how we do all of this. 53106, folks, how should we imagine GAA possibly being different, say, in 2022 or 2023? We'd like to get you involved in the conversation with John Mahon, Anthony Cunningham and Terry Hyland on the Saturday panel, three intercounty managers looking to go back in October with the knockout championship in Gaelic football as we speak into them after two on Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. Back after the news, back after this. This is Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk. John Duggan with you through till 5 o'clock. You can text us on 53106. You can tweet us at Off the Ball. We're streaming live as well now. You can watch us on the Off the Ball social channels for Periscope, on Twitter at Off the Ball, on YouTube, on Facebook. And we're also streaming on the new OTB Sports app. Make sure to download it. We're chatting to three senior intercounty football managers on this week's panel. Terry Hyland of Leitrim, Offaly boss John Mahon, and Ross Commons, Anthony Cunningham. Start with you, Anthony. I want to ask the three of you this. Just start with you, Anthony. And just how have you felt being in different counties? Do you feel adopted by your adopted counties?
I don't think it's a problem in Roscommon. I've been living here about 24, 25 years now. So I live on the Roscommon side of Athlone. So I'm here a long time. So I live in and work in Athlone, but I'm in the St. Bridget's GAA club. So, yeah, I've been involved in a lot of football over the years, from underage right through to senior in Roscommon. So, yeah, it's home for me now. But I do keep a keen interest in, obviously, in my home club, St. Thomas's, and a lot of what happens in the Galway Championships.
And John, being a Mayo man and athlete?
Look, at I've been around the place, as you're probably aware. I was living in Galway City when I started managing Clare. And you're welcome if things go well. If you have any bit of success, or if the intercounty team performs, or you leave it in a better state when you leave. Things might be a little bit ropey if things aren't going too well, and I've had that experience as well. So, look, I have no intention of getting back into intercounty football. I more or less had parked it. I was involved locally here with Castlebar Mitchells, and I had managed a junior club from my brother down the road here, and we were having a bit of fun at that. And I had gone to school in the Midlands, not too far from Anthony's town there of Athlone, over to Moat and Westmeath, and Offaly contemporaries of mine were involved in Offaly, and they came knocking the door, and here I am managing Offaly. I had no intention of getting back, but after sitting down and listening to them, and I allowed my name go forward for an interview, and I ended up in Offaly. We've had, look, last year was fine insofar as we retained our Division 3 status. We had a good performance against Meath in the Championship. We won two games in the back door and were subsequently beaten by Laois. And we feel that we're making a bit of progress. And if the county see your team in as well as it possibly can be, and things are going well, and they see a little bit of progress being made, I think a manager, whether it's Terry in Leitrim or Anthony with Roscommon or me in Offaly, you'd be welcome there. And that's the reality of it. If things are not going well, results are not going your way, you'll get the curly finger and you'll get the shift very, very quickly. It becomes uncomfortable and you'll move on. But I've had great times in Clare, obviously in my native county, Mayo. Fermanagh, I was with Fermanagh for a couple of years, and now here in Offaly. And look, I'm doing something I love. I the problem with me is I can't say no, because I really enjoy it. And it's tough. I mean, the driving for me personally is the worst part of the job. But nonetheless, I'm enjoying it immensely. And I do feel welcome, as I said, if that could change very easily and very quickly.
Terry, is it a drug for you?
Well, I'm a bit like John. I suppose I've been involved with Cavan, and then I was involved with Loud with Val Andrews, and then now I'm involved with Leitrim now. Look, as we all keep saying, we won't go back to it, but then when we get away from it a while, we just enjoy probably what we do. I suppose that's the main thing. And then we enjoy working with lads and working with footballers. And, you know, I, the same with John, I said, I wasn't going to go back to Indy County football after I finished up with Cavan the last time. I was very busy at work and blah, 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 blah. And I'm still busy at work and I find myself managing Leitrim. And again, like John, we had good enough here last year. We were, you know, went on the bounce of that. And, you know, it's again this year, we're holding our own. Okay, we may be struggling a little bit in Division 3, but we have a game, which is a winner-take-all game, and if we perform in that, we could probably consider this another good year for Leitrim as compared to where maybe a couple of years ago. But I think it's a bit in your blood. I think it's just something that's in you, and you know what I mean, if you get involved, you probably find the other lads are the same. They're probably going to involve with management at a very young age, straight out of club, and you just go on with it. It's a bit like being a player. It's not as good as playing, but it's probably the next best thing to it, and it keeps you involved. And again, as I said earlier on, it's a group thing. You're used to working with groups and you're used to working with people and you're used to having talking to people and that interaction. And I find that's what I get out of being involved probably with management, and I've been involved with managing club as well, as same as the other lads. So, you know, it's kind of a say, you keep saying everything, but as John says, eventually you will get ran. That is the nature of the game. But somebody else knocks at your door and you say never again, and then suddenly you're back in it again. And, you know, I don't know if anybody can answer the question as to why we do or what we do it.
Very good.
I'd say, John, there, the other small point is there is probably over the years, you asked there how accommodated are you in other countries. I'd say it's more the workload has really shot up if we're 10, 15 years at this now. I'd say Terry would say the same, and John the same, since John started off, remember him being on the sideline with Claire, like, and Terry had tremendous times in Cavan. Like, the workload, the reason why the workload has gone up is everyone wants to get better and you want to learn more about it, and there's more science involved in it now, and there's more football coaching, and as the game is evolving year on year, so there's an awful lot to learn still. And I think everybody is so ambitious to be there, but you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't love it. And you know, some guys play a lot of golf, some guys go into athletics, some guys go into, you know, cycling. But for us it's also a drug, really, but it's also an honour to be asked and to be able to contribute. You're only a member, one member of a backroom team and one member of the whole panel. So, yeah, but it's work-wise, yeah, it's really, really gone through the roof. But it's in a good way in that you're learning an awful lot more as well.
30 million. I'm sorry, John.
I was going to say, it's nearly 30 years since I got involved in 1990 down in Clare. And that time, there was no S&C coaches, there was no coaches. You did everything yourself. You nearly drove the bus, you booked the hotels, you were very conscious of where the county secretary, what hotel, if you were overnighting, he might put you into a place that you might consider not suitable. So you were kind of involved in every aspect of it. You were kind of sucked into everything, but it was very, very manageable. But as Anthony has suggested there now, the workload between video analysis and your GPS tracking devices, you've got S&C work, I mean, your huge involvement with your physiotherapy, your medical backroom team, it's never ending. It's the workload, as Anthony has alluded to there, it's just gone through the roof, and you're looking out at opposition the same as they are with you. You're analysing games in greater depth now, just looking for that little couple of percent extra, because there's very little between teams in Division 4, Division 3. Everyone's capable of beating one another. And you asked a question, John, and maybe I'm going off on a tangent here now about, you know, wouldn't it have been fantastic if we had looked at something a little bit more innovative in the championship this year? And I'm thinking particularly about an open draw. I think it would have been fantastic. Imagine Roscommon pairing off there with Westmeath if their numbers had been drawn, or, you know, local rivals like the Sligo maybe playing for Manor or what have you. If we had an open draw, Galway maybe playing Kerry in the first round of the championship, it would have added a huge element of excitement to the championship. And I think it's a missed opportunity. They're stuck with what they know best. If crowds are going to be restricted, there's no big financial gain to have retained the provincial championships this year, which are sacrosanct in many people's minds. But this year in particular, because of the uniqueness of it, I personally felt it was a great opportunity just to be a little bit more innovative and try something new. It hasn't happened, unfortunately. I don't know what the boys think about it.
Yeah, I'd agree fully, John. I think John Duggan has said it there at the start of Champions League style format, whatever format. If you have a club now and you tell a club that they're only having one game in the year and it's knockout, you'd be laughed at. And the GAA have gone down the route in clubs for many years now of having a group set up where you're guaranteed two or three matches. The same should have happened, I think, now in this time for an open draw or groups, at least two to three matches guaranteed. I think the provincial systems have to go. And they had a great chance of coming with something new this time, but I don't think provincials will last. You know, in 10 years' time from now, there won't be provincials there, or even 5 years' time. I think it has to go. You see it in rugby, you see it in soccer, you see it in any of the team sports right throughout Europe. That it's group stages, and it provides more matches for players, more matches for your. For supporters that people are craving to go to see, so why not have that novelty, as John spoke about, and have it this year and this autumn.
Like Terry, for example, Terry, you got one match possibly against Mayo, which you're likely you're going to win it. 95%. Afraid we have an issue with.
I think for 95% of the counties, the league is the most important competition because that's the one the field they can compete in. And I think we have to bring a league format to the championship, and perhaps the two top teams won and play in a Super 8 type competition. That is part of your gain for getting promoted, and see how you work on that. But I think that we need to look at how we can make the league,
yeah, so
probably a better competition, as in more attractive to the, because it is the best competition for 99% of the counties. As we look at it, we look at the divvy out of all Ireland's. When you take Dublin and Kerry out of it, the divvy is not that big for everybody else after that. So, you know, we need to look at how we can be inclusive for all counties, because we are, it is an all Ireland, but we don't seem to have a format that favours all of Ireland. We have a format that favours probably 6 or 8 of the stronger counties. I suppose from a provincial point of view, I know the lads would say they probably should change. It's going to be difficult because once you have provincial councils, you know, and you take the same month, for example, in the Hurling, you have a Munster Hurling Championship is probably unique and it's strong, and then also football is one of the ones. So you're going to have difficulty with that, but you're going to have to present something that's more attractive to people. And, you know, whether we can move the league and the championship in together, or maybe we just need to change names around slightly, and rather than making the championship the premier competition, that it's some other format that's the premier competition.
Well, it might make sense. I know what the listeners think about this in 53106 to text in. Would you not have the provinces? You want to keep the tradition of the provinces. You have the provinces in the spring and you have your provincial winner. Sligo could win the Connacht Championship. It could happen that Tipperary could win the Munster Championship, and they might get then an advancement in to whatever series they do. And then maybe have four divisions, four trophies to play for in the summer. Division 1, 2, 3 and 4. Like Leitrim won the Laurie Mar Cup at Croke Park. Is that surely a better bet to have Leitrim winning a Division 4 or Division 3 title at Croke Park with their fans there, rather than be knocked out by Mayo in the Championship, which is likely to happen, to be honest? And 1994 is a long time ago when Clare, when you won in 1992, John, Clare was a very, is possibly unlikely to happen now, because as you say, John, more has been spent, everybody wants to get better, but that does then lead, with population and with money, to a divide between the Dublins and the Leitrims who met in the 1994 semi-final. The GAA said there was a sustainability issue around the amount being spent on inter-county teams, 30 million almost spent last year. So therefore, shouldn't you have a more equitable structure in that you have a big day out for, say, a Leitrim on a Friday of a super weekend, a Tier 3 final on a Saturday, and then two Tier 1 and 2 finals? Would that not be better for everybody? We got a chance now to reimagine this.
John, I completely agree. And I'd love to hear the arguments presented as to why we should retain the provincial championships. I was talking to with Jack Cooney on another programme there a couple of weeks ago. They played Dublin the first round of the championship. Now, we can better bottom dollar. And I know Westmeath, they're a fine football team and they're doing very, very well. But we can better bottom dollar now. They haven't a pub's chance of beating Dublin that first round of the championship. And the game is probably going to be in Croke Park, particularly in the current circumstances. I don't know whether there is a home away fixture anyway. But the reality is, we have something that's not attractive at the moment. As Terry said there, our leagues are very, very competitive. There's an uncertainty of outcome, and that's unique as our sport. Going to a game, talking about, well, what do you think? Who's picking up who? Have we a chance? Yes, we have. All that anticipation and excitement that comes with the uncertainty of outcome. You're going into a game. Well, you won't go to a game if you know that look who the winners are in advance and who's going to be proceeding, and you're just going down there to see your county being beaten by 10 or 12 or 14 points or trying to keep the scoreline somewhat respectable. And you're talking about that thing, respectability. Oh, look, if they're only beaten by 12, we're only beaten by 12 points. That's progress from last year when we were beaten by 20. That's no benchmark. That's no fun for anybody. I mean, if you were a young footballer, inter-county footballer, you'd be inclined to tell your, if you're trying to impress the girlfriend, you'd be inclined to tell her, stay at home, this is not going to be a good day for us. So, John, you're right. There's all sorts of scenarios have been presented over the last 10 or 12 years, and we've been listening to this argument for quite a distance. And Anthony said there, maybe 10 years or 5 years. I think it'll be in the short term. We've got to change the provincial championship. Dublin going for they could be going for 25 in a row if we retain what we have at the moment. There's no attractiveness in that. There's no fun in that. Players will lose interest. And young inter-county footballers, if they go out and take a hiding in championship for one or two consecutive summers, I tell you what, they'll be on the plane to Chicago and to Boston to New York a lot sooner. And we don't want that happening either. So give us something that's attractive and exciting. And let's change it up. Let's try it. Let's try it for a season.
Is the Tarleton Cup enough of a step at the moment? That Tier 2 competition, Terry?
I welcomed it. I welcomed it. Terry would have his Leitrim team competing in it, I would imagine. So, yes, that was something realistic. The All-Ireland B Championship that I was lucky enough, I know it propelled Clare. We got a huge bounce out of it when we played and won that title in 1991, beating Longford in a very, very competitive final. But it gave a great lift and a great confidence to the Clare football team at the time. And I welcomed this the Tarleton Cup. I think it was a fantastic, innovative idea. And it all depends on how it's marketed and how it's promoted and when the final is played. And let's have an All-Star team picked out of the Tarleton Cup and give them the trip to Hong Kong or give them the trip to some place and put in the caveat there might be no trips anywhere for a while. But I just think it would have been, they need to sell it right and market it right and have it attractive and play it in Croke Park on All-Ireland final day, maybe just the minors or something. But there's lots of proposals, lots of good ideas there to have embraced that and to market it properly.
And I would agree with John, because as I said earlier on, it is an All-Ireland series, but at the moment it seems to probably be a six-county series at the minute, because that's all that's probably capable of winning the All-Ireland. And everybody else are among the also-rans. And, we cannot get better if we don't play longer. Leitrim can't get better if they don't play into the summertime, if they don't get more football in their legs and don't get physically stronger by playing more at that level. They can't get better by playing one or two games and then be sent home, pack up the bags. We'll see you in 6 months, lads, and we'll come back again and we start the same again. And lads get disillusioned, as John rightly says, and the first thing they are going to hear is, and I was seeing this last year, not this year to be fair, but we know the thing is slowed down. Like lads come to me when I went down last year, and said, well, look at Terry, I'm going to America in April. I won't be around for the championship. And, they're wondering, well, do I come in for the National League or do I stay away? Because that has been the habit, but that's what they've been doing for the last 20 years. And there's people out there who invite them out and they give them work. And, they get to, especially if you're a student, they get a few bob in their pocket and they come back. But we can't make them better footballers in counties like Leitrim or Cavan or anywhere else if they're not on the playing field. And that's why you need competition in the summer. But you need a levelish playing field and something you can compete in. To be fair, the second competition goes back down to John says how it's marketed. Nobody wants to be in a dummy competition because, hey guys, you're not good enough to play somewhere else, but we'll put you into this. Go off now and you play on that, and that's the end of that. There has to be recognition and there has to be pat on the back. And go back to John, there has to be also. You have to be treated the exact same as every other citizen that plays football in Ireland. You know what I mean? So to do that, they need to promote it in a proper manner.
Yeah, and I think they are, to be fair to them, trying their best with the Tailteann Cup. We'll have to wait and see. We haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen it become the Tommy Murphy Cup, as it were. Like, Anthony, it's a funny one. They got a knockout championship from September to December this year. You're five games away from winning Roscommon's first All-Ireland since 1944. You're actually in an easier position. If you won the Connacht like you did last year, this year, you'd only have to win two more games to win the All-Ireland. But that's not sustainable anymore. And we know, and to be fair to the GAA, they're trying to get something off the ground this year. But long-term, it's not the solution.
Yeah, long term, it's not the solution. And look at unless they go with a group system, it's not going to be sustainable. Unfortunately, a lot of the counties will drop off in standard, and it's no fault to any manager or any player or any club within those counties. It's just the chance and the opportunity to improve is not going to be there. So definitely, they need really, really to move on to a league-based championship very, very quickly. It's just winding away in a lot of the counties. And in time, I mean, John and Terry have said it there, you know, supporters just won't go. Our players will be saying, listen, I'm going to go to America for the summer because, you know, I know we're going to be beaten in the first round. Unfortunately, that's there. And I don't think it's a level playing field for the development of the game, and I think the administration and the GAA, they may need help in putting a lot of heads together to come out with the proper solution. But it's certainly the system there today for the last number of years has run its course.
We've got a text in here in 53106. Retained provincial championships would have the open draw of who plays in each province. For example, in hurling of Munster Championship, but any of the Tier 1 counties. Yeah, just I'd be fascinated to see a Division 4 final, say, with Leitrim in it on a Friday night. You could have a Division 3 final with Offaly in it on a Saturday, the first game. It could be Roscommon in the Division 2 final on the Saturday afternoon, 80,000 at Croke Park, and then the Division 1 final on the Sunday, and then a national holiday on the Monday. Who wouldn't want that in September?
Yeah, it's a weekend of football in Dublin.
Yeah. You're closer to Croke Park there, John, based in Dublin. Let you bring your those novel ideas, and that's that scenario I just presented there is absolutely perfect. The only thing at the moment, when will we see 80,000 in Croke Park? And this year's championship is going to be a little bit different, obviously, for lots of reasons. And it's a little bit like the foot and mouth year of 2001, when there was a huge uncertainty, particularly with the northern counties, where there would be allowed play in the National League. There was an uncertainty as to the championship going ahead back in 2001. There's a huge similarity this year, because I'm quite cautious, and I have to say I'm a bit pessimistic right now. If the championship starts, I'm just wondering will it finish, and it's just hard to get excited about it at the moment. I know club activity is starting this weekend, next weekend in our county, I'm looking forward. I went down to see a challenge game last weekend, Lahardon versus Achill, down in the most majestic part of the country here in the backdrop of Niafan there. A great crowd at the game, huge anticipation just to see live football. That's what we crave for. I just keep my fingers crossed that we will be able to sustain that right up until the 19th of December. But I'm not quite sure. And I think the All-Ireland champions, whoever they will be this year, it'll be kind of they'll be known as the COVID All-Ireland final. It won't carry the same kind of it won't be similar to other All-Irelands, whoever the champions this year. That's my gut instinct on it. It'll be kind of tarnished in a certain way.
But is it not better to have something and that people will actually try to do something than have nothing at all, though?
Completely agree, John. I absolutely agree with you, and let's keep our fingers crossed that it does work, and I hope it does. And whether it's 500 people or 1,000 people or 2,000 people going to a game, it's better than nothing at all, and it's better, you know. Yeah, but it's missing the swagger and the excitement of a normal summer championship. You know, I mean, football played in winter conditions, there will be surprises. If games are played on a Saturday night in wet, wintry conditions, I've been in lots of National League games down through the years played at that time of the year, albeit they're not played pre-Christmas now. But you could be unlucky enough to play in a very heavy pitch that might be suitable to, say, the likes of Galway, who are an emerging team at the moment, have a lot of class and a lot of ability. You would think they'd be a good Croke Park team. they could be caught in the championship by Roscommon. Who knows? You know, heavy conditions, windy conditions, just makes it a level playing field, introduces a bit of a lottery into it. And I think for that reason that this year's All-Ireland champions, it won't be the same.
What's the feeling regarding the club at the moment, guys, with only 200 being allowed in? I know the president of the GA was on Morning Ireland yesterday calling for that to be extended, asking for the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach to maybe ease restrictions for outdoors. Is the club environment in your counties, your native counties, or in the counties you're currently managing in, how are the clubs trying to cope with this at the moment? Are they doing their best? How are they coping?
I don't think they can cope with it, to be fair.
Yeah. Terry?
Sorry, how does a club chairman or a club secretary or treasurer stand at the gate and a guy who has been going to club matches for the last 40 years turns out he's number 52 on the list and he can't get in to watch the game? I don't know how it's going to be handled, to be honest with you. I think it's going to cause an awful lot of problems in clubs. You know, we were initially told it was 200 spectators. Now we're told it's 200 people, including players, officials and everybody else. So we're actually back down to 100 spectators or thereabouts. So I don't think it's going to be, I think it's going to create an awful lot of problems and an awful lot of difficulty in the club system. How's it going to handle it? Because technically you're looking at 50 people from each club with the comments to give it on a ticket basis. Who do you give the tickets to? How do you tell somebody, well, you're entitled to a ticket, but you are not entitled to a ticket to go to this game? I don't know how it's going to be, you know what I mean? I think it can cause an awful lot of friction within the clubs themselves, and I think if you cause friction, you know what I mean, rural clubs especially are struggling maybe with numbers and trying to keep up and running and going, and you know what I mean, you could have a player's parents who are told, well, you can't actually go in there and see your son playing because we already have 100 people in and we can't let in 102. So, to me, it's going to be very, very difficult for clubs. And, you know, I wish them luck as how they're going to handle it. But to me, I think they've been put into an impossible position.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's huge pessimism, huge disappointment now from your club punter or your GAA punter that wants to go to see these matches. And they've waited the whole year, the whole summer long. They've been locked down. And the other thing that's happened in the last number of weeks, there's 300 and 400 people turning up to challenge matches. The appetite is so huge, and they've missed it so much. And you know, I've been to a few of those matches, and there have been no difficulty. People have spread out right around the ground, and come and gone home, and distanced properly at the matches. And now, as Terry said, they can't get into their championship club that they've followed and supported and fundraise for and pay their weekly lotto and be, you know, support their home area. They can't get in there this weekend or next weekend. Huge disappointment. It's going to cause anguish, and people are going to get a bit, you know, cheesed off. And I think, you know, on John's point there, I think the interest will decline if it isn't put right. And I think they're well within their rights, the GAA, to really push for more people to attend, be it that it's policed properly and follow the guidelines of COVID-19 that the government have laid out.
Yeah, John, my brother is the chairman of a club locally here, and he rang me yesterday evening, and he said he is perplexed as to how he's going to manage this whole ticket allocation. It reminds me here, in Mayo, there's war here every summer over the last number of years. Well, not every summer, but over 7 or 8 years, the number of occasions Mayo gets from Northern final distribution of those prize tickets. This is a little bit like distributing all our intent prior to Mayo going to Northern final. Who gets the ticket to go and watch their club playing locally? It's going to be a disaster. I think it needs to be changed. Bigger grounds. We've McHale Park here that can accommodate a couple thousand people adhering and complying with social distancing. Smaller clubs might have a difficulty, but certainly a crowd of 200 is too small. It's too restrictive. That's got to change, or there will be rows in every club in the country.
Yeah. It really has to change. And I think they've got to be a bit more forceful and sit down with the government. They should have seen this come on a number of weeks ago and had a solution and a proposal in place.
We're not too far away from September, guys. Just to finish off the panel debate, fascinating about the structure of the championships, getting back, dealing with players, not dealing with players because you can't. I think we're all just itching to get back on the pitch and manage and our counties and watch our favourite counties play. Will you be set? Will you be ready? Are you up for it? Are you looking forward to this when it comes back in September? Just to finish, guys. Terry, you first.
Just from my perspective.
Terry, you first.
Yeah, no, well, to be honest with you, you asked three questions there. Will we be up for it? We don't know because we haven't met our players. We have no group think going together. Will we be prepared for it? Obviously not, because we won't have enough time to put in with them. As I said, if you win a championship with St. Leitrim, you've played seven matches, you're going to play two National League games, and then they're going to play Mayo the following Sunday in the fourth round of a championship on the back of 20 clubs. It's all rushed. It's as the lad said earlier on, if you were handed this at the beginning of the year and you were told to go in and manage your inter-county team and this is what you've been told, well, you'd probably walk away from it. So to me, I can't see how he can be prepared and be up for something that, in the end of the day, we are supposed to be professionals and we're supposed to run a professional system within whatever counties we're in. And by not being with them, number one, we can't be professional with them. By not being fit to prepare them, number two. And number three, if they're going to come back injured, the camp is going to be affected if there are two or three or four fellas not fit to play. So to be honest with you, if you're asking my honest opinion, I'm giving you here, I don't think it's going to work out. It'll probably work out again for the bigger, stronger panels and stronger counties, but it ain't going to work out for the weaker guys.
Briefly, lads.
Yeah, for me, I can't wait to get going. But there are huge barriers there. There's got to be a huge amount of injuries and a huge amount of tiredness on the legs of players who come back into us. And that's got to be managed in a very, very short piece of time. I think the time frame is really, really too short. The other unknown is what happens if there's a number of players or a player that tests positive in your panel and the team is still down and you might have won the previous Sunday or you're playing a Mayo or a Galway or whoever the following Sunday. That would bring huge disappointment to a county and to the whole amount of work that's gone into it.
Yeah.
But that's hugely inevitable, and that probably in the run of the mill of the 32 counties with all the clubs and all the counties that play, that's going to happen. So that's going to be very difficult to manage.
John, briefly.
We're all on the same. If we're all on the same level playing field, if I'm going out playing against a team that has been strictly compliant with the rules and the regulations, as in no collective training, we're playing on a level playing field, and if that's the situation, I'm happy enough with that.
Well, John Mahon, Anthony Cunningham and Terry Hyland, we thank you so much for your time on the Saturday panel about the inter-county GA debate, and we'll speak to you soon. Thanks so much, guys. Back after this on News Talk.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.